Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Scare Guys Show, your home for horror movies, conventions, haunted events, and all things that are scary fun. We're so excited. This is our very first Scare Guys Show of the year. We haven't had one since December, but we figured we better get going because we have a lot of horror movies. Now that we have the Oscars out of the way, we'll talk about them in just a second, we can move on to the films that really matter, horror movies, which is exactly what we're doing tonight as we preview or review the horror movies coming out in the first part of 2020. My name is Jim. I am your editor-in-chief. Who else do we have with us tonight?
I'm Katie, a.k.a. the final girl, since we're doing the Scare Guy. Mm-hmm. I am a host here at AfterBuzz and do lots of social media stuff for these guys. So.
Hi, I'm Derek, and I'm a contributor to The Con Guy and the Outsider fan for the Scare Guy.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, everybody. I'm Ben Cleaver. Old buddy Ben here back behind the desk this week. I got re-promoted. and just wanted to say welcome. Just like Jim did at the opening of the show. Yeah. You know, people ask me, hey, Ben, why are you always drinking out of that red cup? And I say, because whenever Ben Cleaver shows up, it's always a party.
Gosh, yeah, we always ask him that.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm going to make it a point to start asking you that because you always say that people always ask you that.
Nobody's ever asked me that.
Well, I'm going to start asking you. Yeah.
Who do we have on the couch today?
And welcome.
Yeah, I want your joke to land.
To the couch. I am Cheeseman on the couch here with thescareguy.com, and mm-hmm. I got my good buddy. Who are you?
I am Zach.
I just met him out in the alley and brought him in. He looked like a nice guy. I liked his jacket.
He said he was a Knight of Ren.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I am Zach Varnum, a resident fan of horror, screenwriter extraordinaire.
Yes, yeah, right.
He's come to talk horror tonight. Horrors and horror.
We might play a game of horse out back later. Speaking of screenwriting, Zach, did you watch the Academy Awards last night?
I did.
Yeah, what you think?
I enjoyed them. I enjoyed them a lot.
We don't have a lot of
Eminem
time.
Eminem was amazing, wasn't he?
Yeah, and so relevant.
Right. It was so strange. Can somebody tell me what he was doing there? It was my favorite part of the show, but I had no idea why he was there.
I didn't see that part.
Did that win an Academy Award? Because he came out and he sang a song from 8 Mile.
Back in 2002 is when that song was released. Okay. And he did not show up at the 2003, but this time he did.
Ah, I see.
Everybody gets a second chance, however the song goes.
I see.
Somebody who's Lose Yourself?
Somebody who has better rhythm should do that for. By the way, we have somebody who's keeping the show running, and we appreciate him every week. Ryan.
If you add one shot.
One opportunity.
Dun, 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 dun. Everything you ever wanted.
Look at there.
Ding, one ding, moment. Ding, ding, would you ding, eat a muffin? Ding, ding, would you eat a muffin? Ding, ding. Would you let it slip? Yo.
This is Ryan Nilsson, our extraordinary engineer and producer of the show.
His muffin is icy.
Yo, the Oscars were amazing last night. We had an amazing after show. There are people putting signs up in the background. Go all Oscars. And shout out to the Scare Guy 2020.
All right, Scare Guy 2020. Nice. By the way, I have four things. By the way, we all watched the show, but... Mm-hmm. The numbers came out. It was the lowest rated Academy Awards in history. It had barely over 23 million. I grew up with the Academy Awards. I don't know about you guys. Like, I'm from the Midwest, and me and the fam, we would always watch it, make our predictions. It was something that we did every year, and I'm kind of sad to see that it's losing numbers like crazy. Eventually, it's going to be an online thing, and let's hope that doesn't happen. But
Steve Martin almost hosted.
Well, here's the deal. I have
Thanks to Twitter.
Four things. This is real quick. Take me 30 seconds. Four things I think to improve the Oscars. You guys tell me what you think. Number one, make it more entertaining again. Steve Martin and Chris Rock at the beginning gave me the feels of what it used to be like. That to me, that was the best part besides Eminem, of course. Number two, kind of stop the smug, pretentious speechifying, telling us all how we're supposed to feel, vote, act, do.
Are you almost dancing?
Tell you what, all you actors, I love you guys. You guys did great in the movies. Give a good speech. Anyways, number three. This is a controversial one, but include movies that are popular outside of just New York City and L.A. I'm sorry, everyone's going to say, but all those movies, everybody loved them. No, they didn't. My mom and dad have never heard of Jojo Rabbit. I'm just going to tell you.
It was so good, though.
Okay.
I want to see it.
Number four, I set my DVR to tape the Oscars, and then I set it to tape an extra hour. I still didn't get the whole show in. Make it freaking shorter. We can't stand an Oscar ceremony almost 4 hours long, for crying out loud. And that's my opinion. I'm sticking to it. What do you guys think? Real quick, we got a little bit of time here.
I'm with you on, like, all... There's a lot of preachiness most years, and I think that's hurt their ratings a lot, because people don't just want to get told all the things they should be doing, and even if you agree, sometimes you might, like, even agree with something somebody's saying, but they'll say it in such a preachy way that you're like, I don't want to get preached at. And also
realizing
that...
Stealing cow's milk, for crying out loud. But he redeemed himself with a really nice ode to his brother. That was
Yeah,
nice.
That was cool. That was good. But yeah, you get so much of that every year, and I think a lot of people are just tired of it.
Yep.
And he had a good Instagram post with his soon-to-be fiance having vegan burgers.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Cool photo.
Yeah, and by the way, I think a lot of the awards this year were very well deserved. I think he
Joaquin Phoenix earned it.
I was hoping that Brad Pitt would win.
I was really glad
that he did.
Yep.
And I was really happy for Bong Joon-ho. When he was doing his speech, I mean, I came in late and just saw the end of the show, but when he was doing the speech for Best Director...
You speak Korean, right?
Not very well anymore, but I can pick up words here and there. Mm-hmm. And when he was giving that speech, it was just really cool because you could tell he wasn't expecting that. He wasn't prepared to do anything. They thought at best they would win Best Foreign Language Film, or what it's called now, Best International Film. But a film from South Korea has never even won that category. Mm-hmm. And here they just swept all this stuff. You could tell he was overwhelmed, and he was acknowledging other people in the audience.
He gave the best, most genuinely... Yeah.
It was humble. Speech. It was just genuinely joyful. And then when they actually won, and I mean, this is a historical moment for the Oscars, because a film from another country, a foreign film, has never won Best Picture ever. Mm-hmm. And it was just really cool. And I was happy just because I've been to Korea several times. I studied Korean, and I love Korean culture. And the Korean people that I've met are just wonderful. And I was so excited, this director who's done other films that I really liked, to get this kind of international recognition with this. And then just seeing the people there being surprised and just
It was a great moment. I'm so not going to dispute that. I am in no way besmirching the quality of the films that were presented last night. Not at all. But I think, though, like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is probably the highest profile film that was there. Oh, Ford and Ferrari. So there were a couple of films. Mm-hmm. 1917, maybe, I think, which is a film which looks amazing.
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, and I haven't seen it yet. I can't wait to see it.
You got
to
see it in the theater.
I'm going to. But like, I was having a talk with a lot of folks in that are work at the studios and stuff today, and everyone kind of agreed, we kind of enjoyed it. I didn't really like last night's broadcast very much. It bored me. I DVR'd it. I would fast forward. Every song
you watched
the
dance numbers three times.
Then there's that. No, but but there was not a lack of quality. And contrary to what a lot of people say, I love the Maya Rudolph, Kristen Wiig section. Although that dress that Kristen Wiig was wearing, I'm going to say, what?
Somebody was like, no.
I thought it was a joke.
Yeah, somebody was like, I don't know what Kristen Wiig's wearing, but now I'm hungry for lasagna. So.
That's what. But anyways, I think it was well done, but I don't know. What do you think, Ben?
I've got a couple of opinions. One, just being an actor and working in this industry and the struggle that I know so many, even like Brad Pitt and so many of these actors have gone through to get to where they are now. Mm-hmm. They're the most rich actors in the world and most famous and most well-known and most successful, et cetera, et cetera. And just the trudge of crap and am I going to have to live in my car? And sometimes not me personally, but sometimes these actors, like I did live in my car, and just all of this crap that you have to go through for so long, not knowing if it's ever going to be worth it. And then you get to this point where you're nominated for an Academy Award. I understand just being in the position I'm in, and I totally realize that other people aren't going to understand this in the same way I do, but I understand where it becomes this kind of patting yourself on the back for 3.5-hour show, because you went through a lot of crap just to try to earn a living doing this, let alone becoming successful at this thing that you love, that you took the other path that is not just go into a tech career, just go into something that's you can have a job and make money and pay your rent. And they said, no, I want to fulfill this artistic dream of mine that I have. And so I understand from that point why you have this 3.5-hour ceremony that really celebrates you, because people look at it oftentimes and they're like, oh, these guys are just patting themselves on the back. And there's a little bit of that. They are, but it's not I don't want to say undeserved, but it's not that they didn't work to get there,
True.
The other thing, I had two other things I was going to say. Oh yeah. Bong Joon, but what's his name?
Bong Joon-ho.
Joon-ho. I loved when he was like, I am going to drink until the morning.
Yeah. And
they did.
He did. Yeah.
They went out in Koreatown and drank until like 5 a.m. It was... I
so very Korean of him.
I know, right?
Yeah.
And then the other thing is, and I was going to say this on last week's show, if you see a movie that's coming out in the theater and you're like, hey, I'd like to see that movie, but I'm going to wait until it's on Netflix or Amazon Prime or whatever, please reconsider that thought, because if you don't go see a movie in the theater, you are telling the studios, I am not interested in you making this type of material.
Yep.
So don't make it for
me. Or unless it's Marriage Story or The Irishman.
Well, if it's direct to Netflix, that's a different story. But if it's... Mm-hmm. If it's coming out in theaters and you are interested in the movie, please consider going to see it in
but
the theater.
But didn't they release Irishman, A Marriage Story in theaters for
very,
like a
very,
week?
Very limited.
Yes,
yeah,
but
because they have to qualify,
so have to
for,
qualify
the
for the
Oscars.
Yeah. So, but I am going to stick to the one big thing. Of all my points, the main one, though, is when I was growing up in the middle of the country, far away from Hollywood, with dreams of coming to Hollywood. By the way, all of us are parts. We are in the Hollywood industry. We love the Hollywood industry. We want to be more a part of it. And so we're not saying that Hollywood industry sucks. We love it. But when I was in the middle of the
country, I mean, sometimes it sucks. You know,
there's a lot of
every industry sucks in some way.
Yeah, but I'm just going to say, I was familiar with the films as a little kid that were being announced as Oscar contenders. Mm-hmm. And it seems like in this past 10 years, it becomes way too niche. Like some of the films, not all of them, some of them are so small that they never even make it out of L.A. or New York. You know, so this time, like Jojo Rabbit was probably an amazing film. I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to see
it.
But I don't know if very many people have had a chance to see it. Parasite was one of the breath of fresh air moments of the Oscars. But I think that one probably is going to benefit from the Oscars, because a lot of people have no idea about that movie. Joker, over $1 billion, and it deserved to be there. Ford and Ferrari. So we had some big films. I'm not going to complain too much, but still, the biggest Oscar, I think the highest rated Oscar, if not of all time, at least of the last 30 years, was 1998 when Titanic was up and swept all those Oscars because it was such a good film and such a big popular film. And the same thing with Lord of the Rings,
The Return
of the
King.
That was a great big year.
It matched for like the record number of Oscars won. And
so you can make popular films and good films together. We just need the Academy to recognize that every once in a while. Every once in a while they do. And I was pulling for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but I'm very happy with Parasite. We do have to move on. And Ben, by the way, there were no real horror films that were recognized last night.
Unless you consider some
Parasite.
Of Parasite. Parasite has some scary elements to
yes.
it. Can we talk about that just a little bit? Have you guys seen the movie?
Don't ruin
not
it.
Not yet.
I haven't seen it yet.
No spoilers.
Okay, I won't ruin it. There are some moments that are a little scary, and there are some great things that, like, if you're at all familiar with Korean culture and some of the stuff that goes on, that makes it that much more entertaining, but you can still enjoy it without being familiar.
I would, let's take a look. I'm going to watch it, and then let's talk about that. I would love
let's
to talk about
that. Yeah.
Marriage Story. That was a brutal one. All right, Ben.
Yes, we have
3 minutes of news. Mr. Ryan Nielsen, we're going to do the scariest 3 minutes of news.
The scariest 3 minutes of the week.
All right.
I'm going to count you in. 4, 3,
here we go.
2, 1.
Famous Monsters of Filmland magazine is no more.
Sad.
Captain Company, the company that publishes Famous Monsters, is nearing its end. In a letter sent out today, publisher Philip Kim Kong announced that he is retiring. The Famous Monsters brand consists of 3 publications per year: a comic book publishing division, a web store based on the classic magazine's back catalog, a YouTube channel featuring horror coverage and DIY tutorials, a pop culture podcast, and live events where fans can mingle, watch movies, and learn tricks of the makeup trade. Here's hoping that someday, Famous Monsters of Filmland will get a new life.
Come back!
The Walking Dead attraction at Universal Studios Hollywood is closing on March 3rd. It's just another sign that the once mighty behemoth Walking Dead franchise is nearing its end. The attraction originally opened in 2016 after replacing Universal's House of Horrors, another year-round walkthrough haunt, and has been featured at Halloween Horror Nights as part of the events lineup. Speculation is that the walkthrough's proximity to The Secret Life of Pets might have been an issue, especially as
Universal transforms the area from Baker Street to Pence Place.
Interesting.
And speaking of The Walking Dead, the Walker Stalker convention seemed to have imploded, disintegrating into chaos, no shows, and a whole lot of confusion. All of the actors have pulled out, and most of the events have been canceled. The website is now, quote, down for maintenance. The Tennessee Attorney General's office is investigating Walker Stalker LLC and FanFest Events LLC after major problems emerged in the last 18 months regarding canceled conventions, ballooning debts, and unpaid refunds.
90 seconds.
The Atlanta version of the convention had so much bad press this year that the Walker Stalker CEO, James Frazier, had to hire personal security guards because of the amount of death threats he received.
Oh, my.
Sounds like Brad.
He has since resigned as CEO, and the entire organization, according to some reports, is up for sale.
Yep.
A couple of weeks ago, here in Hollywood, Blumhouse's Halloween Kills, this is what I'm really excited about.
Me too. Yeah.
The sequel to 2018's Halloween and the second film of the trilogy, third film in the series, had its first test screening in front of an audience of around 200 or so moviegoers. The response was overwhelmingly positive.
Oh.
Here are a few things we're hearing from those in attendance. That's a typo. A few things we're hearing from those in attendance are that one major character returns. Michael Myers is ultra violent and brutal, and the flashbacks are well done and merge perfectly with the original 1977 film.
30 seconds.
Halloween Kills opens in theaters this year on October 16.
Fan-freaking-tastic. Wow.
24 seconds left.
Also, we heard that apparently, you know, the original movie had all that cool blue background lighting, and I guess they have really kind of used that a lot
to recapture that.
Yeah, making this movie feel as if it is in a continuation of the 1978 film. I'm super stoked about that. And Katie, I know that you had a lot of friends that were over at Universal Studios, that, you know, and it was kind of a sad thing to hear that attraction was closing. So that's a sad farewell.
Well, and it makes sense, though, because it's been around for, I mean, The Walking Dead
years,
itself has been around for so long that
10 years.
So the show is, and I don't know if they're planning on ending the show at all anytime soon.
They haven't announced yet.
I haven't been paying attention. I fell off the
There's
show.
There's three
wagon.
Movies apparently that have been announced featuring Rick, who has left the series.
Right, right. But yeah, I wonder if it's just oversaturation because they're like Walking Dead, and then like Walking Dead walkthrough, Walking Dead second TV show, Walking Dead third TV
there's
show,
a third
three
one,
movies.
Yeah, there's a third TV show coming on this fall.
And don't forget the web series for every season of HBO.
Right.
I think that with horror specifically, I've said it on the show before, but I feel like with horror, there are definitely things that are popular, and then they're not popular anymore. People stop caring about them. And I guess that's the same with most trends. But, like, you know, we had the vampire phase. And then we had the zombie phase. And, you know, we have these phases. And I think the zombie one, people are just over it now.
Well, Kirkman, he stopped the book. Like, he has finished Walking Dead.
Yeah,
it came to an abrupt conclusion and with no announcement. And that was kind of like a big shock to everybody.
When did that end?
This last year,
like five months ago.
I'm curious as to the ending, but I don't want to spoil it for anybody. I don't know. I was just going to straight up be like, how did it end? But
I haven't read it yet.
Oh, I'm not going to tell you how it ends. It cannot end the same way that the series has ended because of where the series is now. The book, if you are following the comic books, that's not going to be how the series ends.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So,
but they could draw inspiration from it.
Yeah, they absolutely could. So,
but then Kirkman will go back and rewrite the end of the books if nobody likes that. No, I'm joking. I'm making a George R. R. Martin
But like, and speaking of Walking Dead, it's kind of surprising. Like, this whole, the Walker Stalker convention, the whole circuit of conventions has imploded. All the actors have pulled out. And it's, I remember because, like, it was like probably 5, 6, maybe 7 years ago at San Diego Comic-Con was the first time I heard of Walker Stalker because they were there at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
They had Petco Park and they were doing the run-through attractions and stuff. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And it was at the height of the popularity. Mm-hmm. So it does seem like The Walking Dead has died.
Wow.
I still watch it, everybody. I just want you to know. So.
I don't.
But anyways, speaking of conventions that have not imploded, Derek has a couple of conventions coming up that you guys might be interested in.
Sure. So, coming up March 13th through 15th is Monster Mania Con in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, featuring a reunion of the cast of Child's Play, plus Jackie Earle Haley, Sam Raimi, David Harbour, Danny Trejo, and many more. Then the following weekend, March 20th through 22nd, is Horror Hound Weekend in Cincinnati, Ohio, featuring Sam Raimi again, Michael Rooker, Robert Englund, Virginia Madsen, Billy Zane, and more. That's cool. Two Freddy's. Two different.
No. Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Okay. And then March 28th through 22nd, same weekend, Days of the Dead in Las Vegas, featuring the cast of Hellbound, Hellraiser 2, Richard Dreyfuss from Jaws, Heather Langenkamp.
That's kind of cool, yeah.
Yeah, from Nightmare on Elm Street.
Doing conventions as Richard Dreyfuss.
I know, Richard Dreyfuss is actually doing a convention. That's so great.
The shark is not working. I repeat, the shark is not working. Yeah.
That's what he does on like every interview. Yeah.
Some of the other guests there include Linda Blair talking about dogs.
Yeah, we'll talk about
she
it.
She does that. It's a thing.
Daniel Harris from Halloween 4 and 5. Barry Boswick, Rick Browning, who is the swimming creature in Creature from the Black Lagoon.
The last surviving actor from the classic Universal Studios Monsters era.
Wow. And then cast members from Return of the Living Dead. And then May 1st through 3rd, Texas Frightmare Weekend in Dallas, Texas, featuring the cast of Dr. Sleep, Leatherface, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3, a reunion of Jeepers Creepers cast, reunion of the E.T. cast, and famed horror writer and director Clive Barker.
Mm. Those are some good conventions
and
coming up.
I've heard Texas has some really, really good conventions. The people at Temple of Geek, one of the guys that I did an interview with once, they have a lot of like smaller ones that are apparently really cool.
Oh, that's cool.
And I don't know about horror, but I know other conventions.
And Luke, why were we talking, and somebody else, why did we say Linda Blair will be there talking about dogs?
Well, she came to Scare LA and basically would not answer a single question about The Exorcist.
Yeah,
she's like, watch the documentary. But then she had this whole spiel about kind of, which is great to support dogs. It's great what she's doing and all that. But she didn't want to talk about Exorcist.
Yeah, no, she shows up to Scare conventions specifically with an agenda to talk about her dog
charity.
Her dog rescue charity, yeah.
Which is great, but she shows up to horror conventions and refuses to talk about the horror movie.
It was bizarre
that she's in. Dogs. Refuses to talk about it, and just if anybody asks a question, like Luke said, she just says, "Well, there's a documentary about it. Go watch that."
It was so frustrating.
She just needs to have like a spinning dog kind of prop with its head spinning,
yeah,
and then that'll attract people over. Like, oh, what's up with the spinning head on the dog? And then she can talk about it.
But the thing is, it's bizarre because it's like she's got to show up. Like, she's not an unintelligent woman, I don't think. She's got to show up to these things knowing this is a horror convention. My name is synonymous with a specific horror film, which is considered one of the greatest horror films of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they've invited me here because of that, but I'm instead going to obstinately refuse to talk about that. I just don't understand.
No, it was bizarre. Well, we were sitting there. I wanted to be in the front row when Linda Blair was talking, and I was like, this is very cool. I had never seen her in person before, and you were correct. If anyone asked her a question about her time as an actress, especially anything having to do with The Exorcist, she's like, oh, that's in the documentary. Go watch it. No, dog questions?
She should have handed out versions of it signed. Then I would have been okay with it.
All right. And one convention that I did not get on there in Pomona, California, the weekend of February 22nd and 23rd, there's a big convention called Haunt X. It's the ultimate do-it-yourself haunters expo. It's less.
Oh, nice.
It's really cool. It's for people who are in the haunting industry to show up, or more accurately, it's a lot of people who do home haunts. So it's a very cool convention. Tickets are still on sale down in Pomona, February 22nd and 23rd, Haunt X. It's for people who want to create their own haunts. By the way, real quick, we're going to jump into movies, but before we do, who do we have on the couch and why? Hey, Zach.
Why are you here?
I know. I was almost going to say that.
Who is your dad?
You're
what does he do?
Let's introduce Zach Varsh.
Here's Zachy.
Zach is his fellow Floridian. That's why we bonded. But he's also a screenwriter. I really like his writing. And also,
are you a Floridian?
I'm
Jim is.
Yes. I kind of lived in a bunch of different states. I've been on the run for a long time.
I was like, you grew up in the Midwest. Florida.
Chicago. The middle of Florida.
Actually, Midwest of
Florida has kind of a Midwest.
He just got his diet from many things to many people.
I was born and raised near Chicago until like the age of 15. Then my folks moved to South Carolina. Then I went over to Tennessee for a number of years. Down to Florida. I consider myself a Floridian at heart. And then I moved out to California.
He's been retired since the age of 5.
But Zach, anytime it's somebody's very first time on the show, we have to ask him, when did you get into horror?
Probably when I was in middle school, like when my
parents guys started kind of like loosening the leash on what I watched. like they're not horror people, mm-hmm. and so like, I mean, that just increased the mystery for me.
So mm-hmm. what kind of films were you watching then, like when you had free access like that?
Well, the one of the first ones was Alien.
Oh, that's a yes. classic, 1979.
Yeah, pretty much Alien and The Shining.
Were you born then?
No.
What?
No, just kidding.
No, you wasn't.
Let's not go into age.
Okay.
But you can get a Blockbuster.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
A Blockbuster night.
There you go.
Mm. Yeah.
That's cool. Do you have any favorite slasher films? I guess Alien's kind of a slasher film, if you think about it.
Yeah, it's like a slasher film in space.
Oh, I love slasher films. What's your favorite slasher film, though? Traditional slasher film.
Hmm. I mean, probably Halloween.
Halloween?
Halloween's great.
Good answer. We'll keep them. All right. So we're going to jump into our preview of the horror movies coming up. Well, some of them have already come out. This is our preview and review of the winter and summer 2020 movies. And we are going to start right up front with a movie that came out on January 10th called Underwater.
Worst possible title.
It's real bad.
Yeah. After an earthquake, a group of aquatic researchers discover something terrifying is out to kill them at the bottom of the ocean, starring Kristen Stewart. Did anyone see this movie?
Nope.
I did not, and I want to.
Okay, it's got 39 million global box office so far, which is that's very good.
That's really paltry. But
a month later,
yeah,
I just love underwater movies. And
What was the James Cameron one?
The Abyss.
The Abyss.
That is an amazing.
That's an amazing movie.
I still love that.
Did this remind you of that at all?
Yeah, the previews did a little bit. And then have you ever seen the movie Sphere?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a lot of people don't like it. It's kind of not considered very well, but I liked it. I thought it was really interesting. So there are a few like that I find fascinating.
Here's the thing.
Yeah?
It intrigued me when I found out T.J. Miller was in it,
mm-hmm.
and then they
mm-hmm.
said Kristen Stewart was in it, and then I really had no desire to see it.
Hey. Because of T.J. Miller or Kristen Stewart?
Kristen Stewart.
Really?
Yeah, I'm in a movie with Kristen Stewart.
Are you serious?
She's a delight. I'm in Seaburg.
Well, look at there.
That's not about vampires, is it?
No,
I'm
it's
not.
Not
a fan. I'm not a fan of hers.
This movie currently is at 47% on Rotten Tomatoes, 60% audience score. But it also stars Gunnar Wright and Vincent Castle. So I'm not beating down the doors to go see this movie.
Is there a Meg in it, though? Because if there's a Meg, I would go see it. Because now any underwater movie needs to have a shark in it or a big shark.
All right, so Derek, what's the next movie that comes out that came out January 24th?
Yeah, which was so did I.
Oh,
I said that's my birthday.
Derek came out January 24th.
Yeah,
thanks, Rose. Mom, yeah. Sam's.
Yeah. No, that's Caller Out of Space.
Yeah,
which is another trippy Nicolas Cage movie produced by Elijah Wood's company. Based on an H.P. Lovecraft story.
Yeah.
I don't know much about this because I had heard a little piece about it, but not much.
It's kind of weird. It's like a meteor comes out, hits next to a farm, and causes everybody to start acting very strange. A town, Lovecraft, it's a Lovecraft story. A town is struck by a meteorite, causing catastrophic fallout. Stars Nicolas Cage, Julie Richardson, Madeline Arthur, and Tommy Chong of all people.
Wow.
Hey, man, there's meteor out there, man.
I haven't even heard of this.
Well, not very many people have because,
it's an independent, like...
So far,
like Mandy.
Came out January 24th. It has made worldwide $715,000.
I believe a meteor is at this town.
Which is monument. Did you guys see Mandy last year?
No, I wanted to. Everybody said
you
was...
You saw it.
I did.
So interesting.
And what do you think of Mandy? Nicolas Cage is...
It was very kind of trippy and interesting. Like, I would be down to see this and to see Nicolas Cage make one of these movies every year just because they're so bizarre.
Mandy, I don't know why, but I loved it so much. It was just so...
Can we plan a weekend sometime to do just a marathon of weird Nicolas Cage movies?
Yes.
Like, we could watch both of these and The Left Behind that he did.
No.
Maybe finish off with something like The Rock, just so we're all feeling better.
Wicker Man.
Yeah.
But
not the
Con
bees!
Air!
Not the bees! This has an 84% on Rotten Tomatoes, and 81% audience for the very few members of the audience who have actually seen the film.
Interesting.
But it does have the same kind of look, the purplish red hue and weird undertones. Mandy, I loved almost. The very end was like, that's it. Okay. But everything leading up to the end was great. All right. Katie, what is this next film?
The Turning, which also already came out. Mm-hmm. And this is the one with Finn Wolfhard and Mackenzie Davis and Brooklyn Prince. And it's the modern take on Henry James' novella, The Turn of the Screw. Mm-hmm. The new iteration is about a young governess who starts to suspect evil forces are taking over the two young kids in charge. And it's produced by Steven Spielberg. So
really? That was what it was. Yeah. I think, yeah, this is produced by none other than Steven Spielberg himself or his company.
Yeah.
And Cheeseman, you and I saw this. Did anyone else see The Turning?
It looked really didn't really look like something that I would want to see because kids and creepy things. I don't.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was based on The Turn of the Screw, though.
Yeah.
Because I know that title, and it's one of those classic books that I've never actually read.
Which is the same book which the next season of The Haunting of Hill House from last season.
Oh, really?
This is The Haunting of Bly House, which is the next season of the same thing. And I think that is going to be a lot better, because what did you think of the movie?
It was watchable, but not like something like I'm just like excited about or want to see again, and I feel like Spielberg may have lost the ending.
So the ending wasn't very good.
On Rotten Tomatoes right now,
but I mean, he didn't write and direct it.
So. I know. Yeah.
Rotten Tomatoes?
He should fix it.
13.
Ooh.
Audience. He's had a dinosaur or something.
Of 14.
I wonder if part of it, because I admit I'm suffering from a little bit of Finn Wolfhard exhaustion.
Yeah.
Like, this kid is in everything, and good on him for getting work and getting paid, but... I'm concerned.
Brad was pissed because he beat Brad Pitt out on a magazine because he's like in everything now.
Can I tell you something? No, this movie, three-fourths of the way through, I kept on thinking, wow, I don't know why everyone's hating on this movie. It's very atmospheric. It's kind of creepy. It's building towards something. And it's one of those movies that felt a little almost artsy, like kind of cool artsy. And then you get to the end and... all you can say is WTF.
Huh?
Like,
it just ended.
It's almost like they ran out of film and it just ended. And like, wait.
I mean, that's kind of how the book is.
Oh, wait. What's the book like? What happens in the book?
No, well, the book's like really dry and like, I mean, real kind of Victorian feel, but it does kind of like end on a dime. Like,
interesting.
Huh. Oh, and then this
happens. Well, because remember the War of the Worlds that came out? That's been a while now since the Tom Cruise War of the Worlds came out, but people didn't like the ending in that, but it basically ends the same way.
Oh, but that was an end.
Classic book
was almost an ending like, hola! Okay, stop mid-sentence type thing. It's like, it's almost it's like Sopranos. This is like a Sopranos ending, but worse, much worse. Oh, sorry. All right, I'm going to, by the way.
I'm concerned about that Wolfhard kid. I think he's going to turn into one of those crazy kids that
he got
famous too young.
Yeah,
well, he's only in horror stuff, too.
I hope he doesn't, but.
He was kind of crazy in this movie.
I'm concerned.
By the way, the movie was very artfully done, and the ending is completely open-ended, just like the book is open-ended. And it's about, is she actually going crazy, or is the house causing her to go crazy?
Oh, okay.
What are supernatural forces at work or not?
Can I read the next one?
Yes, please.
Moving on.
Gretel und Hansel. It is out Januar 31. Yeah, it's about Hansel und Gretel, siblings from
January 31st.
Ah, yes.
If you only speak English.
The siblings from the old nursery rhyme. I believe it's a Grimm fairy tale, isn't it?
Yes,
the Grimm fairy tale. Also much darker, and the names have been rearranged in the title, signifying the film's focus on the sister. Die Schwester. The siblings face down an evil creature in the woods and general mayhem ensues. The film stars Sophia Lillis, Sam Leakey, Charles Babalola, Charles Barkley. Hey kids, you want to come in my house? That was a terrible Charles Barkley. I used to do a much better Charles Barkley impression. Alice Krieg and Jessica DeGaal.
Yeah.
Now, also one of the kids from It is in that movie as well.
Oh, is there?
Sophia.
Yeah, she played.
That's right.
She played
Max.
No,
Sam.
You're in the wrong thing.
Who's Max? Stranger Things.
Sophia Lillis plays Beverly.
Beverly, yes.
That's right.
And then Alice Krieg. I don't know if I've ever said her name correctly, but she was the Borg Queen in Star Trek First Contact.
That's right, I know her
and from. In the finale of Star Trek Voyager.
She plays the creepy old lady in this.
Which is perfect.
Yep.
Like, and that makes me want to see it.
Creepy old lady,
so
or do you mean witch?
The Borg Queen.
Witch. She plays the witch.
Well, witches in these stories are also creepy old ladies.
Yes, true, but they're also a witch.
So how much money... Oh, wait, this movie has so far made $13 million since coming out January 31st. It's only been about a week.
Today's about 10 days ago. We've seen this story how many times before?
it looked like nothing I wanted to see. I'm sorry.
And I'm sorry, I liked the last Hansel and Gretel.
Hey, that's $13 million more than any movie I've ever made.
Hansel and Gretel Vampire Hunters or whatever it was with...
No, it was Witch Hunters, because they're Witch
Hunters. Yeah. That's what it was.
But with I liked Jeremy that one. Yeah, with Renner. Jeremy Renner. Oh, yeah. I liked it.
But here's what's surprising. It has a 61% on Rotten Tomatoes with critics, but with the audience, it's down to 22%.
Ooh. Oh,
boy. All right.
So the viewers hated it more than the critics.
Hey, so, Zach, what is the next movie on the list?
All right, the next one is The Lodge. From Sundance, this is another one of those prestige horror films in the same vein as The Witch and Hereditary. A woman gets snowed in with her two future stepchildren, and strange events start unraveling this soon-to-be family, summoning up psychological demons from the mom's strict religious childhood. Sounds like a lot of family drama wrapped up in a dark supernatural blanket.
Mm-hmm. And it stars Riley Keough, Richard Armitage, Leah McHugh,
no
Jake Martel,
on this one?
And Alicia Silverstone. You know, this sounds a whole lot. Back. You know, this sounds a whole lot like The Turning. It sounds like the same type of movie: a woman trapped with two kids who drive her crazy.
I mean, most horror films are going to have one of three things: creepy kids, creepy dolls, or
creepy
some sort
old
of
people.
Yeah, I was going to say old people, too.
And this one just released in very limited release just this past weekend. So far, it's up to 437,000. It will get more, but it looks like a really good, creepy film.
So it's, like, probably disturbing, like one of those ones. Kind
of
like.
I don't want to go off
with Hereditary.
What do you think of Hereditary?
I was disturbed.
Yes.
I just did not make me feel good. It led me to drink. Only movie that's ever done that.
It was well done.
This has another, kid from time. It.
Oh,
who's the other kid?
Well, yes. I forgot the drink before it.
Jason Martel. Yeah. Jason Martel played Bill in It, and he's in this one, The Lodge.
I'm sensing a pattern.
Yeah, so
with
those kids from
It,
they're you know they're just branching out to do all kinds of other horror movies. All
right,
it's made by the people who made Good Night, Mommy. Have you guys seen that?
I have not.
Good Night, Mommy.
I've seen Good Night, Daddy.
It's a German film.
Really, what was that?
I've heard of Good Night, Moon.
So is Good Night, Daddy.
What was Good Night, Mommy?
It's
Gute Nacht, Mama.
Two little boys, like, their mom comes home from, like, fresh from a plastic surgery, and they don't think it's her, and...
I did see the advertisements for that. Look, terrible.
It's spooky. It's spooky.
All right, on February 14th, Blumhouse's Fantasy Island. It's based on the super campy 77 through 84 TV series where guests arrive to have their fantasies fulfilled. But this new version goes dark, of course. Guests think they're in for an awesome time, but instead end up fighting for their lives against their worst nightmares. The movie stars Michael Pena, Maggie Q, Lucy Hale, Portia Doubleday, Austin Stoll, Ryan Hansen, Jimmy O. Yang, and Michael Rooker.
Such a great
I'm Mary
cast.
Poppins, y'all. It's a great cast.
Yeah, that's a great cast. And when I saw this come out, like I saw the trailer for it, and I was like, is this connected to the old show from the 70s?
I couldn't figure it out. I saw that. Yeah. I just saw the you know the link for the trailer and the with the title and a poster, and it's just this over. This aerial shot of an island. I'm like, oh, they're making a movie or probably renewing the series or something. And I clicked on that. Wait, this is a horror film.
Well, and I was like, is it connected? And then I read the synopsis. I'm like, yeah, these are the same characters. Yep. This is supposed to be the same kind of storyline as
but
the
horror
show.
Yeah.
But even
I thought it was based on like a reality show, like where you go as a couple.
Have you heard
or
of Fantasy Island?
No.
Fantasy Island was a show in the 70s, and it was literally
on right after Love Boat.
Yeah, yeah. And it was this
Saturday night
you'd go to.
Sadly,
and
I watched it.
Your fantasies would come true. There were people that worked on the island to make your fantasies come true, but it was also kind of a monkey's paw situation, whereas like you get the thing you want, but there's a consequence, you know?
Yep.
And it looks like they're really leaning into the horror aspect for this, obviously, which is
dark
really
version.
Cool. And
PG-13 version, too.
Yeah. For this light-hearted Valentine's Day release.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Everything Jim wants is PG-13.
Since we are kind of getting close on time, let's go ahead and kind of zoom through these last few. Also on Valentine's Day weekend, there's a film coming out, which I'm going to make sure to see. VFW from the classic horror brand Fangoria. Ben, what can you tell us about this film?
Well, this one is a must-see for lovers of schlocky 80s scares.
Me!
That's what Jim says. It pits retired war veterans, hence the VFW, against punk mutants. Plenty of kick-ass is in store. The pick stars Stephen Lang, William Sadler, David Patrick Kelly, George Wendt.
I know!
Yeah. And Fred Williamson. And any women? No, I guess not, but... No, George Wendt, hell yeah, I'm in.
All right, February 21st. Derek, What movie is this?
Brahms, The Boy 2.
Did you see The Boy?
No.
Katie, did you?
Yes, I did.
Oh, wait, let's let Katie tell us about this one then. All right.
Okay, The Boy was about, it had, what's her name from Walking Dead?
Lauren Cohen.
Lauren Cohen was in it, and she goes to become a, what she thinks is going to be a nanny to a boy, and then later on finds out it's a doll that she's basically taking care of, but you're not supposed to move the doll, you're not supposed to disturb the doll, I think it is, and the doll suddenly is moving and things are happening and she doesn't listen to the rules and kind of ends up in this thing.
And you love doll movies, right?
Who doesn't, right?
Katie
loves
much.
Creepy dolls.
So it's a creepy doll movie. So
it's the sequel, basically the same movie.
Sequel.
Starring?
Is it still? Oh, Katie Holmes. Okay, yeah. Katie Holmes. And then it's after the family moves into the mansion, their young son soon makes friends with a lifelike doll called Brahms. Considering what happened to the Brahms at the end of the first film, the sequel kicks off with a whole new mystery. Like, typical sequel.
And this is, like, based off of real stuff. Watch the lore episode on the,
Love
the doll. Yeah. It's insane.
Which, you guys met the real doll.
We met the real doll, Robert, the doll in Key West, Florida.
I did not associate with him, but
you didn't
I saw
make
him.
Fun of it, did you?
No, yes, but we asked permission before we talked to it and took his picture.
Jim asked for permission before he took a picture.
I did. I was freaked out. February 28th, Ben, watch this.
I'm not touching that stuff.
This is a big movie coming out.
Ooh, The Invisible Man, man. This one looks intense. Directed by modern horror maestro Lee Whannell. The writer of Saw in 2004 and 2010's Insidious. This film is another attempt by Universal to revive one of its most famous monsters from the Golden Age, but it is not part of the Dark Universe, the shared universe.
They abandoned that.
Yeah, which was unfortunate, but The Mummy was just a
terrible
bomb. Elizabeth Moss, who is wonderful.
She's from Handmaid's Tale.
And before that, Mad Men. Yeah. But she's
And before that...
West Wing. That's right. But she's a wonderful actress. She stars as a woman stalked by her abusive ex-boyfriend who was supposed to be dead, but is instead, as the title suggests, invisible. It also stars Oliver Jackson Cohen, Aldous Hodge, Storm Reid, and Harriet Dyer. Y'all remember Hollow Man? Kind of reminds me of Hollow Man.
It does.
Yeah. Hollow Man was loosely based on that idea.
Loosely, yeah.
But it was horrible, right?
But
I never saw it, but it bombed.
That was Kevin Bacon, right?
It was Kevin Bacon. It bombed really bad.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it, but it also had some kind of disturbing material in it. Like there's a really bad scene in it that still makes me uncomfortable to think about. But
now I'm curious.
So
Kevin Bacon, that's
awful.
The naked Kevin Bacon scene.
Yeah.
So listen, he's invisible.
But perhaps the most anticipated horror movie coming out this fall. Who wants to jump on this on a March?
A Quiet 20th? Place Part 2. A Quieter Place.
Yes.
Part 2.
So here we go again. What about it?
Yeah. No, it's not called Here We Go Again. That was the ABBA one.
Here we go.
Yeah, sorry. But the Abbott family again faces off against creatures that hunt by sound. The first film was fresh, scary, and created one of the most agonizingly tense scenes in modern film history, giving birth, stepping on a nail while the monster stalked you. It still stars Emily Blunt, Millicent Simmons, Noah Jupe, Cillian Murphy, Jaimon Hunsu. Blunt's husband, John Krasinski, is still there as a writer and a director.
And for a small part, yes.
He is going to be in there. Flashback?
Yeah, because they're going to do some flashbacks.
Okay. Because the trailer has a quick flashback, but you don't actually see him. I was wondering. Let's hope this family affair is as messed up and nerve-wracking as the first.
Yes, I loved it. All right, this next film, Katie, is something that's been kind of in the can for a while, but now it's finally coming out on April 3rd. What is it?
New Mutants, because it got delayed like a year? Was it
two.
A year? 2 years?
Two
All right,
years,
so
yeah.
New Mutants, it's on April 3rd, and then it's the Marvel's first horror film.
That's what they're describing it
actually,
as.
Actually, the M's like the actual Marvel Studios first horror film, like not Marvel's first horror film that's been made.
But it's not part of the MCU universe. So
yeah, but
not
it's the first one that studios make.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the last... X-Men Old Guard film to be released
from 20th Century Fox.
From 20th Century Fox.
Mm-hmm. And for those who don't know, it's the five young mutants discovering their abilities while held in a secret facility, and they fight to escape their past sins and save themselves.
And it stars who?
Yeah, Maisie Williams.
Maisie Williams.
Anya Taylor-Joy, and Charlie Heaton, who's, I forget what we know him from. Oh, he's, Jonathan in Stranger Things.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Very cool. And April 17th, Antlers. Zach, what do you know about this film?
Ooh, this one looks spooky. In Antlers, a small town Oregon teacher,
Carrie Russell,
and her brother, played by Jesse Plemons.
I love the idea of the two of them playing siblings. I'm excited about this.
I love Jesse Plemons.
Yes,
he's the local sheriff. They discover that a young student, played by Jeremy T. Thomas, is harboring a dangerous secret with frightening consequences. from the mind of Guillermo del Toro.
Guillermo del Toro. Now,
good on Carrie Russell getting all this high-profile work, by the way.
I know.
Like, yeah. I mean, she's had a good career, don't get me wrong, but, like, all of a sudden now she's a freaking movie star. Like, look at her.
Right. Last two films. This next one is kind of, I don't know a lot about it. Does anybody, it's coming out April 24th. Does anybody know anything about Antebellum?
I don't, but I'll read the
thing.
I've
just seen the teaser.
Please do.
You've seen the teaser.
And so Lucas, okay. too, yeah.
Antebellum, which is a word in the South for fancy.
Success. It's pre-war.
Oh, yes.
Like, it usually means like before the Civil War. We talk about the Antebellum South.
Okay. Ah, I see. Successful, maybe I should read it like this. Successful author Veronica Henley, Janelle Monáe. Oh, I love Janelle Monáe. Yes. She's wonderful. Finds herself trapped in a horrifying reality and must uncover the mind-bending mystery before it's too late.
Perfect.
From the producer of Get Out and Us.
Yeah, that one's, it's a woman, she's traveling, she finds herself being ping-ponged back and forth in time between present day and she's an African-American woman who finds herself terrifyingly on a plantation pre-Civil War. Wow. So that's an awful thing. This, by the way.
I'm excited about this next
one. Are you watching me on YouTube? Oh.
This.
Good. I'd like to play a game with you. Up until now.
Yes, yes.
Just sat there as a voyeur watching other people. In their videos, without care about.
Saw was he just talking to us?
That okay.
Who that's talking to people watching us on YouTube, I think, actually.
Okay, so
because technically we're not watching YouTube right now.
So
right?
this one's all the way in May 15th. Which Ben, what is this?
This is Spiral from the Book of Saw, the ninth film in the Saw franchise, starring Samuel Jackson.
You have to do this in Chris Rock's voice.
Yeah, you gotta do it.
Walking in the shadow of an esteemed police veteran. Brash Detective Ezekiel Zeke Banks.
You sound more like Bill Cosby. Can we even say the name Bill Cosby?
Okay, let's try that.
Let's not talk about it.
To take charge in a grisly investigation into murders that are eerily reminiscent of the city's gruesome past.
In other words, Saw is back, and it's bringing Samuel L. Jackson and Chris Rock. Talk about
Chris Rock's
successful relaunch. I think that is awesome.
Well, Chris Rock's a producer or director on this, isn't he? Or he wrote it or something.
He's definitely involved in some way, I think I saw. And like now he's doing like Fargo and other things, so he's like really taking a cool direction in his career.
I've not seen him in anything serious before.
I've never seen Samuel Jackson in that much lately.
And I saw
I'm kidding. He's in more movies than anybody.
Does he ever say
And I saw the trailer for this, and like Chris Rock is like a detective, and like I was really like, I'm not the biggest Saw fan, but I was really intrigued by this trailer.
The first one I thought was good. The rest of them, I wasn't so sure. I just tortured porn.
I liked the second one pretty well.
Okay.
It's still like in the same vein as the first one. Still interesting.
Guys, we have run out of time. There's so many movies to talk about in so few time. This is a great opportunity for me to say, please subscribe to the show, like us, talk about us, share us with your friends. Tune in each week. We are here either as the Scare Guy or the Con Guy. You can find me here and all of our social media as Scare Guy Jim.
And I'm Katie, a.k.a. The Final Roar. You can find me on social media at KT_Christine, as well as on the Scare Guy account, or on Sunday nights and the Batwoman After Show at 10:10 or Riverdale on Wednesday nights.
Hey, I'm Derek. You can find me on Twitter at ConGuyDerek. And hey, Ben, why do you always have that red cup?
Oh, it's because whenever Ben Cleaver shows up, it's always a party.
Why do you always have that empty red cup at the end of the show?
Because I drink it all.
We're trying to end, Luke.
Where can we find you?
My name is Ben Cleaver. You can find me on all social media at BenKleewer. Please tweet at me. I'm mostly Twitter and Instagram. I'm trying to tweet a lot more, so let's start a conversation, guys.
Where can we find you, Zach?
At ZachMySwag2 on Twitter.
ZachMySwag2 on Twitter. And Cheese?
Wow, there's two of them. Cheese been on the couch. You can find me on Twitter at CheeseOnCouch and on TheScareGuy.com.
All right, thank you guys, and not to be political, but all right, we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.